last week on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
So now I'm sickened and slowed too.
Yes. While you remain in the aura, we're rolling to strike Varg, who has not yet been hit.
Correct.
Oh boy, a 36 to hit flanked Varg.
That is a crit.
Okay.
No.
What a brutal.
I'm down to 39 HP.
Oh my gosh.
In one salvo, I took off like almost 100 hit points.
Yeah.
Please, Luton, save us.
It is Smogwraith 2's turn, and Varg is by himself with.
Sorry, Varg.
No!
A summoned version of Luton. First strike, natural 20.
Shut your mouth.
Oh my God.
I rolled a 19 exactly.
You literally tied his AC.
Natty 19.
Oh my God.
That's a crit, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a 40 to hit.
Oh.
He's dying too.
You are dying too, Varg.
Six.
A two.
Smogwraith 1 dies.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yes. It was so camping.
Now it's not the time, Greg.
Come on.
Two again.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh.
The dice have spoken.
Wow.
As Dinosaur Luton reaches out with her tiny, tiny, tiny forelimbs and misses.
Use a hero point.
What is happening?
Yeah. 20, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
And I need a creative way to describe your kill, sir.
Yes, Kairos.
Oh, my God.
This place. Where the wraiths are coming from.
To make more.
Oh, with don't their dead say bodies. That. That's probably what's
That's
happening.
What we just found out happened.
You can ask around. There's lots of merchants and other things like that.
Yeah.
And we'll find out what questions you ask them next week.
And now it's time for a new episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast, where Scott's favorite Laffy Taffy flavor is banana.
No, get out of here.
How'd you know?
I can believe it.
Yeah.
That can't be true.
Is it true?
It is now.
Is it really?
It is true.
I
mean, I like the sour apple too, but can I do my?
I took a swing. I just figured you'd be crazy
flavor.
Like that.
Banana
Laffy Taffy.
Banana Laffy. How old are you? You don't know. In the 80s?
No, that's your cold open, Scott. I just gave it to you.
He's like, it's
literally not
down.
My.
It's already written down.
Cold open, but
he's mad because I took his thunder.
That's a delicious flavor.
The intro is this whole thing.
Took his dice.
Anytime you guys are ready.
Ready.
I just did the intro. We're not doing it. Let's talk about last week.
Stop. This is like, stop being funny.
Because you can't be mad.
I can't. I'm trying to be mad. I would like to not do that anymore, but it's too funny.
All right. I'll stop. I'm sorry.
No. No, I have no idea what to do.
Did you say welcome?
No, I know how it goes.
Okay. Come on, vibe killer.
Say the thing.
You guys suck.
Oh, man.
You're out of practice now. It's been too long.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast. Also, while you're at it, please subscribe to our Dad Noises ASMR channel on Twitch.
Ew.
Oh. How does that go?
I feel like... there's an idea here. I think that would do well.
100%. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hear the sounds of somebody scratching you know back. What?
No, I want all of those dad noises, different noises for my cell phone. So every time I get a text, it's like...
No, the haptic feedback noise when you're texting somebody, it's like... Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It pairs really nicely with Grump Hub.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really would.
That would be the notification sound of Grump Hub.
Exactly.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. It would just be something like,
like you get a notification that says, pulling up now. It'd be,
no.
Or the getting out of the chair noise.
Yeah. Well,
hey, real talk, I actually make that noise getting up now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This happened one day. All of a sudden, I just started making that noise.
As soon as your first kid is born, that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's immediate.
When Greg got to our house today, Thunder Buddies, he tested out my chair.
I did. I was like, you know what? I've never sat in this chair before. And I sat in it.
What noise did you make when you sat down?
Well, I sat down. I was surprised. Like, oh. Well, it was surprisingly comfortable.
The whole idea of testing out a chair is a dad thing, right?
Absolutely.
Let's see. Oh, look at that. Oh, man, armrest.
And immediately take that chair for a spin.
Yeah.
Exactly. And immediately after, I just rested my eyes. Come on. I was just resting my eyes. Yeah, and I was watching that, so don't change the channel. All of those things.
What kind of fabric is this?
Brittany literally shook her head. That she was just like,
yeah, it's a dad thing. Chairs.
Yep.
Comfy.
That's how we do.
Jeez. What is that, new book?
Now you have to leave all those in for this episode.
This is Jordan's favorite episode.
It really is.
Because normally I cut all those. And then,
all bets are off now. Yeah, like, I can make whatever noise I want.
Well, we're going to jump into this. Because we are a Dad Noise podcast, but we are also a Pathfinder podcast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before we do, I want to address a couple of things. Kal-El has a 10-foot reach.
This is huge.
Did we know this?
Hold on. This maybe? Is news to
That is super
me.
News.
It's news to like everybody, but it's also not news because he got that when he became size large, which was when you guys were descending the elevator into the Vault of Secrets.
Yeah.
So long ago.
But do all large creatures have reach?
No.
Okay, so
like a rhinoceros doesn't have reach, you know, but it's a large creature.
Yeah, they got short legs or arms.
But
do they have arms or legs?
But the cat
four legs
animal. I don't think a rhinoceros has arms.
Are you sure they're not walking on four arms?
Because they have 4 feet, and you don't have a foot at the end of your arm.
If you have four arms, does it count as walking on your hands the whole time, like a handstand?
Exactly.
If a rhinoceros had four arms, it could climb trees, and I don't think they can do that, so their legs.
That's a great point. I think that's the qualifier.
Think about it.
I don't know, because a bird has feet, and it can climb on trees pretty well.
And so can a jaguar.
Well, it's the same as...
But it's 2 feet and two...
Jaguars
front
don't
feet.
Have arms. There you go. Front feet, back
so
feet.
So rhinoceros arms can't reach very far. We've established that.
It's rhinoceri.
Because they don't exist.
Rhinoceros do exist.
But Kal-El's
He's swift. Arms.
Kal-El's arms.
It's a reflection of their speed. You know, they can move quickly through their space.
And swipe farther and elongate the spine.
Now, it's interesting. Swipe.
It's science, really.
Can you swipe with a foot?
You can definitely swipe with a foot.
You can swipe with a foot, sure.
Hmm. Sweep the leg, you know? Swipe. You do that with a foot.
Or an arm.
I guess you could sweep the leg with an arm.
Yeah, I feel like that's reaching and grabbing the leg with the arm.
I feel like the science is out on this. I don't know.
We're not... Yeah, we can't reach a conclusion.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Inconclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. This is the kind of dad conversation. Yeah. You have sitting in like a furniture store in your chairs, testing out all the stuff.
Right.
But you're just hanging out.
Just
we
hang
all know
out.
The truth.
We
is.
Should
We're
go
not
to Old Cannery later. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
We could just sit around on stuff and talk.
Just talk and make noises.
What do you think they used to build this chair? Miter saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
A planer.
Probably, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Joiner.
Probably. Yep.
Probably got out the belt sander to smooth down the edges.
Yep. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Sound good. Yep.
I mean, you got to router those edges.
Yep.
Right, Brittany?
Yep.
Something else that we recently learned, because we did a deep dive on the rules, 3 action casting spells that have the option to go into a second round, i.e. Horizon Thundersphere. Their damage does not happen until the end of the casting, which is in the texts for casting a spell, which means that you have to complete all 6 actions before the damage takes place. Before the target is hit, which allows the caster to adjust their aim in between rounds if the character that they're shooting at moves.
They're like charging up, essentially.
Right. Which means they only take the damage once, and then whatever the added ability is for the 2-round casting also then gets added at that time.
How many episodes do we need a recon right now?
None. Thank God. I'm not doing it.
That's quite the recon.
Yeah. So that was a thing.
Or retcon, I said retcon.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
You meant
well,
retcon.
Hopefully,
to be fair, I've only done the second action cast of it a couple times.
Yeah.
It hasn't been very much.
And it's not like a critical...
I usually don't use that. So it's been 2 or 3 times.
You know, from a seeing how someone would cast a spell perspective, that actually does make a whole lot
it
more sense.
It does make more sense, yeah.
Because it's like you're holding a fireball, you're like, and then you hold it for another action, and then it gets bigger in your hands kind of thing.
You hold it till the next episode.
Hold it till the next episode.
Yeah.
Next week on Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
His power levels reach 5,000.
Anyway, we're chewing on some granola early today on this episode, but that's okay. That's what Pathfinder's all about. The game encourages players to find the optimal solution for problems, and that's part of it.
Also, another lesser-known fact is eating your granola keeps you regular.
Okay.
Oh, we're back to poop already?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So quick.
It wasn't me this time.
He just slides in so quick.
Wow. Oh, see, you're just keeping it going, though.
Wow.
Come on.
You know, it's funny, because there's literally an entry in the Player Core rulebook that says that players of Pathfinder should not be too corporophilic with their jokes.
Huh.
Doesn't say that.
Oh, I'll read it.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's in Chapter 8, Playing the Game. There's a Pathfinder baseline, and the sentence says, avoid excessively gross or scatological descriptions.
That's scatological.
Oh. Yeah.
Why don't they just say poop?
Because they're classy.
For the record, I didn't say
unlike us
that word.
It says, characterized by obscenity or preoccupation with obscenity.
Yeah.
References to excrement. Or relating to the scientific study of excrement.
We are literally breaking the rules. Every poop joke.
Sweet. We're educating the people so they can walk around saying that word. Scatologically.
So proud of that.
How you doing?
Scatologically speaking.
Well, I'm doing all right.
Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the poop joke.
It wasn't even a poop joke. I just said,
no, eat you your literally granola. Said eat your granola. It keeps you regular.
Yeah.
That's and not what a joke. Exactly that's is good. Regular?
That's a health information tip.
What's regular, Greg?
I'm not going to say it because I'm not allowed to. The rules tell me not to.
You implied it already.
You
planted
to it.
The seed. You planted the seed.
You planted the poop seed.
And you can see the seeds in the poop because they don't digest.
Scatologically speaking.
Scatologically speaking.
Oh.
Boom.
Ba-da-da.
Oh. What other retcons do we got? What else did we screw up?
So
like
much.
In episode 96, you guys are literally singing a poop song.
What song are we singing?
Oh, diarrhea. Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. That was awesome.
That was dude, jam though.
That was great.
That was my childhood.
I think we got an Emmy nomination for that one.
So official apologies to Jason Bowman and Mark Siefter and Logan Bonner.
Sorry for having fun.
Sorry, guys.
The guys who wrote these rules
Jason
in here
laughed.
Said, listen. Hey. Avoid scatological descriptions.
Avoid meaning
is that in there for a reason? Like it's just. Out of nowhere, they just decided.
It's the Pathfinder baseline.
But hold on, they said scatological descriptions. We weren't describing anything.
Yeah.
And we were merely singing a joyful hymn.
Yeah, and it's a baseline.
A joyful hymn.
Yeah. It's a baseline, right? It's supposed to just set the tempo.
The song is literally describing different ways. Wild animals.
Right?
Why do you play with us?
I don't know. I'm giving my wife the signal to be like, judge them harshly so that they stop.
No,
and she's
I love
just over here laughing along.
Have Evan Bonner and Mike Seaport and Kevin Zatterand.
Don't disrespect their names.
Have they listened to the show? They don't
by
know.
Now, absolutely.
Sweet. That's awesome. Scatologically speaking, thanks for listening, guys.
Oh, man. I don't know how I'm going to cut all this.
Don't cut it.
I think I have to.
They're going to call each other and say, dude,
so we're 20 minutes in.
That's scatological.
Scatologically speaking, you have to pinch it off.
Yeah,
not cut it off.
Snip the rope.
Not cut it off.
So I'm walking through my office and someone said, I know how to cut the rope now.
Snip the rope.
Snip the rope. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh.
You listen to my podcast about fart and poop jokes. That's right.
Such a classy guy.
This is what happens when we take too long of a break.
I agree.
Just like hanging out.
Never do this again. Yeah. It's fine. We'll just do a 2-hour episode.
Yeah.
When last we left the Shumfalo 5, they were on the Screw Overlook, bringing it back into the game.
Bring it back.
The Screw Overlook, if you're looking on the map, is a very large promenade. It's beautiful, I think.
It's about an 8 out of 10. And I think if I could see the view, I'd give it a 10 out of 10.
It's 200 feet across and like from east to west and 50 feet from north to south. There are several carts on the promenade.
Vendors and stuff, I'm
assuming.
Yeah,
there's 12 wagons, and there are vendors in different stages of setting up their goods, or they've already opened up shop, and when we ended the last week's episode, we said you guys were going to go and start asking around, because you've got this missing traveling magical merchant by the name of Emmalet, who is nowhere to be seen.
And this is where he was last seen.
The last time that anyone saw him was on the Screw Overlook, so that's it. That's what you know.
The Alchemist Emmalet. So we would like to ask around to see about his last, like, the people, if anyone here has seen him before. More specifically, I would like to ask if someone saw him before, what was he doing? What was his disposition? That kind of stuff.
Okay. You ask around to the merchants generally, and, you know, you're getting kind of a generic response from, I don't know, he just sticks to himself. And there's kind of a unknown answer to that specific question, but they all point you down to where he was set up last, which are the two wagons on the west side of the Screw Overlook. And if you look over there from where you're at, you guys are about 80 feet away right now, you look over there from where you're at, and you can see a group of four people packing up
the
goods and stuff around the wagon. Yeah,
I get all huffy and puffy and start marching over there. Just kidding. I would like to go talk to them, though.
Okay. You guys move over and begin talking to a group.
Varg matches Darnayru's huffiness and stomps up behind him.
It's pretty puffy.
So you see a group of one dwarf, two humans, and a gnome. And the gnome seems to be giving out orders to the rest of the group.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh.
Hello?
We are...
Yeah. What is it?
We have been told that this was the last known place of Emmalet.
Yes. Emmalet.
Do you know what has happened to him? He has gone missing.
I wish that I did. He owes us pay for a week's wages. No one has seen him since last night.
What does he owe you pay for?
We are the employees of Emmalet, the traveling magic show. Yes, we are his people. We are his posse. We are his crew, if you will.
So you are the closest people to him?
I suppose.
So what was he doing last night when you last saw him?
Honestly, I don't know. We all went to the inn for the evening. When we came back this morning, Emmalet was gone. He normally stays here in the wagon.
He normally does not go to the inn with you.
No, he sleeps in his wagons.
So you left him here at the wagons, you went to the inn, and the next day he was gone.
That's right.
Did he seem normal when you last talked to him?
Nothing was out of place, as far as we know.
Can I see if he is being deceptive?
Yeah, roll a perception check.
Can anyone do that?
Yeah, you guys can all roll it.
Guess what I'm going to roll? A brand new die my brother got me. He says
exciting.
This is only used for out of combat.
What is that one named?
This is my dragon die.
The dragon die.
Because it's got little dragons inside. It's super cool. It doesn't roll super cool, though. Just kidding. Okay. It's been rolling great, except for right now.
What'd you get?
21.
21.
21.
21.
19.
19.
26.
26. As far as you guys know, this gnome is being truthful.
It's rough.
Would you mind if we take a look around his stuff?
Well, who are you?
We are, I guess being a special investigator wouldn't really matter.
Not for Troy Aiton. Let's try it, yeah, go ahead.
We are special investigators for the Shield Marshal, Captain Roy Aiton.
Oh, the Shield Marshals, huh?
That's right.
Oh, sure, you can look around, just take a peek back there, on the side. That's the back of the wagon there, that's where you should look.
And all of the rest of you stay still, don't move.
Sure, yeah. We won't move.
I say one of you take a look. I'm going to keep an eye on... Vark's going to keep an eye on these
four go of look.
Them. There's four of them.
Two humans, a dwarf, and a gnome.
Wow, good memory. That was so
was I right?
You were 100% right.
Kairos has his eye on them, too.
Darnayru will walk straight to the dangerous area that he told me to walk to. Very cautiously. I'd like to check for traps on the way.
As soon as you turn to look, one of them says, "Watch out!" And I need everybody to roll a perception check.
Okay.
That's better.
I got a natty 20.
Nice, baby. Why do you got to show me up? I got a 32.
I got exactly a 32.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine's not a natty 20, and I got a 32.
You have higher perception than I do.
A 22?
31.
Okay. You guys turn and look at whatever it was that they were pointing at, fearing that Darnayru was in danger. And they drop everything that they were holding and all start running away.
They juked us.
Vark makes an effort to trip one of them.
Okay. Roll an athletics check.
Nice.
Is there any reflexy thing I could do to try to catch him?
Nope. Not.
Okay.
It's not a reflex.
35 total.
35.
Whoa.
You go to trip one of them and they nimbly jump over your feet.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Okay, we make chase.
And are sprinting away as fast as they can.
We make chase.
Can Bard I cast chase?
Run, it's the shield marshals! Run, it's the shield marshals!
Oh, oh lord.
I figured, said the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing.
I said, dang it.
There's no royal we. Are you chasing them?
It's up to you.
Can I cast a spell? Are they out of...
What spell?
I want to cast Daze on the main one.
Yes.
All right.
I believe that's a targeted spell.
One creature, 60 feet.
Yep. Before that person gets 60 feet away, you can cast the spell.
Yes. So I cast Daze. I say...
In your head.
And then...
In your head.
Right? That's it. That's the reference.
So appropriate.
And so I don't roll anything, I don't believe.
No, I think I got to roll a...
DC...
Yeah, you would save. Do a save.
Yeah, save. A DC basic will. 26.
A William save.
I critically succeeded.
Ooh. Nothing happens. Wow.
So your daze hits one of them in the back, and when that happens, they scatter in different directions.
Oh, sweet.
And
I just yell out, disappear. We are not with the bad shield marshals. And so hopefully they don't run
there you
further.
Go.
Is that like a diplomacy that I'm trying to like?
Yeah, you can roll a diplomacy check.
Please roll well. Diplomacy or a bluff is check. Not. Well, it's not a bluff. We're not with the bad shield marshals. We're with the good
ones.
Not
with any shield marshals.
Tell them we're the Shumfall of Five. We're the Shumfall of Five!
It's only a 21.
Okay, Varg, roll a diplomacy check.
Okay.
We're the Shumfall of Five. That's what you... Yeah.
That's what you yelled? Outlaws.
30 total.
We're the biggest criminals in the city!
It's like he's breathing it, I know.
Wow.
Amazing. Varg ain't scared. They... Don't respond.
Okay,
they're gone.
Can't chases.
I guess we should just take all of this guy's stuff then. Just kidding.
I think they're gone. I think so. We should look in the wagon.
Should have thought ahead.
That's okay.
But we should.
Bart's chasing them.
Oh, you're gonna chase? Okay.
You guys don't have to.
Wow. You said they. I thought you said they were already gone. Are they chaseable?
They get far away, and they are definitely chaseable. If you want to give a chase.
Varg's chasing him.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't leave Varg alone, so it's all four. And starts sprinting. I have 30-foot sprint speed.
All right. Loot and roll a perception check.
12 plus 17.
29. You notice as these two take off after this group of who knows what they are.
Right.
That one of the doors is askew and off its hinges to the back side of the wagon.
I think they're robbing them. I don't think I don't think they worked with him, but...
And they did drop everything that they had.
Did she notice what they dropped?
Not without searching it.
Oh, okay.
That's just something that she notices as you guys are about to start giving chase, so...
So do we deduce that they were stealing?
They ran when they heard we were shield marshals. Varg took off, and Darnayru is running on his tail.
Okay. Are you staying to investigate the
wagons?
Yeah,
I actually want to cast Misty Memory. This is where he disappeared, right, Amulet?
Yeah, this is where he disappeared.
So can I cast Misty Memory using the water of the screw here?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of water everywhere.
And then just see what happened in the last 24 hours?
You certainly can. So okay.
That's a genius idea.
Darnayru and Varg have kind of sprinted off to...
Get back here, you rapscallions!
To find these four rapscallions who've gone away.
Yeah.
And Luton and Kairos have stayed back, and Luton begins her... It's a 10-minute incantation to form the mists and read the memories of the day, right?
Yes.
So you do that, and you can see water lapping up over the edge of the screw and, like, mystifying and spreading out and probing in all of the areas and all of the... Your 24 hours ago begins, and you see all four of these same people... working and haggling with different other figures that walk up. Now, you don't get fine details, right, because of the way Misty Memory works, but you do see what appear to be patrons, and if I remember correctly, this has a 30-foot radius, so you can see some of the other carts that are still there are within 30 feet, and you can see patrons going up to those carts as well, buying things, conversing, and there are certainly four figures, one gnome, one dwarf, two humans that match the description of the four people that ran away from you at the traveling magic show caravan. And there are times where they're casting spells that you can see them doing hand motions. And
so it looks like they're actually working.
Yeah, and so Luton fast forwards time through to the end of the day. And Emmalet, what you assume to be Emmalet, there's this one person who's kind of in a top hat and trench coat, looks like a very cartoonish-looking ringleader, ringmaster sort of person, right? Who's been featured in all of these memories that Luton can see in the mists, and Kairos is there watching it all, too. And you guys are trying to suss out, like, what happened here. And so the end of this time comes. Emmalet waves goodbye to these four, and they walk out of the range of misty memory. And then Emmalet goes and retires to the first wagon that's right next to you guys.
Okay.
The north wagon.
So I think they were legit employees.
After a few hours of fast-forwarding, without you, so you guys aren't going inside the wagon, you see two misshapen, shambling creatures coming up over the top of the rocks from the water.
What?
And they come up into the range of misty memory, and they start banging on the side of Emmalet's wagon in this misty memory. Emmalet comes out of the wagon, and you start to see him throwing things that explode.
Boom. He's an alchemist. Boom. Makes sense.
And you see these explosions. You don't hear them, but you see these large disruptions of water and mist as the memory is recreated in front of you. And Emmalet begins fighting whatever these two misshapen, odd creatures are that slowly shamble toward him. Emmalet ends up running to the south wagon in this memory as he's fighting off these two creatures, jumps inside of the wagon, and then disappears for a second. The two shambling creatures walk over to the second wagon. They're banging on the door, banging on the door. The door flies open. Two enormous mouths come out of the wagon, grab onto the heads of each one of these two strange shambling creatures.
Stop it.
Pull it back into the wagon.
Pull the creatures into the wagon?
And then the door shuts again.
What?
Oh.
And then the wagon starts moving in the mist. Like, the mist is rocking around. The wagon's currently stationary, like, physically. What you guys see is no moving at all. But this mist shaking the wagon back and forth, and then all goes quiet.
What?
And then the next morning comes, and you see this gnome and the dwarf and the two humans show back up, and they're looking around for Emmalet. They have no idea where he is. They try the doors on the wagon, and they're locked, and they look in the first wagon, and you can see this all happening in the mists, and they come back out shaking their heads. One of them disappears and comes back about 20 minutes later with four other people, a group of mercenaries.
Oh, the ones hired to find him.
You see them have a discussion for a little while, and then the group leaves, and then these four are kind of standing around waiting, and they don't know what to do. After some more time passes, that group of four mercenaries shows back up, and they're shaking their head. They can't find Emmalet, like we just said, Greg. Hmm. And then they start pointing in their open palms because they want to be paid for their services.
Yeah.
And you can see the gnome puts their hands up, trying to dissuade them, and then motions for them to come back later. As soon as the mercenaries are out of view, you see them frantically start packing up all their stuff.
Oh.
And then, eventually, another hour or so goes by, and you see the Shumfalo 5 walk into view. And time catches up to the misty memory.
Wow.
There's a lot.
They only went in the north wagon, you said, in the misty memory? They didn't go in the south one?
The door was locked to the south one.
Okay.
So Luton gets a hero point.
Yay.
That's genius. Because
that was an awesome use of that ability.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And that's what you see.
Those mercenaries are going to come back.
Yeah, they are.
For their stuff?
For their payment.
Their money.
Not if we're chasing them. Oh, the mercenaries are going to come back. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the four that we're chasing.
Oh, no, they're gone.
Because Vargen and Darnayru didn't see any of this. While this is happening, we're chasing.
Well, I text you.
You did?
You recorded the misty memory happening.
Yeah.
Do you have the... I think you might have the message cantrip.
Do you have the message cantrip?
I don't believe so.
That's okay.
Does Luton?
No.
Vargen
I'm the only one who does.
Well, you can still send a message from where you're at, Greg.
But why would I send a message? I'm chasing.
You're unsuccessful in catching these.
I would just start walking back if I didn't catch them.
So they would just come back.
I do have a message cantrip.
Oh, perfect.
Do you really?
Oh. I'm going to cast it.
Okay. What's the range on this? Like a 120 mile?
120 feet.
Oh, that's not that far.
It's not that far for running.
You guys are long gone.
So it comes in like broken up and staticky.
So then... Would Luton and Kairos just wait for them to come back? Or are you going to...
Honestly, if we don't catch them, we would be back before you're done casting this. Because we're not chasing them for 10
minutes.
It does
take 10 minutes to cast this spell.
That's true.
So,
before you finish casting Misty Memory, we'll say that Varg and Darnayru have made their way back. But you are unsuccessful in reacquiring any of these guys.
Dang.
They had a darn near, full round head start on us.
Yeah. I don't think they were that important necessarily, but
I mean, I want to know more about what came out of the back of that second.
We should definitely open the wagon.
They might have known, like maybe they knew he was like a shapeshifter or something. Yeah, or
we should open the wagon.
Well, he's then the, yeah, whatever definitely. Did that is still back there.
But remember, there was one other thing. I guess grabbing the heads and pulling them in the wagon is different. Because I was going to say when the Ghost Riders came up, that was from a staff, wasn't it? That wasn't like biting a head. Yeah, remember what I was talking about?
Yeah.
When we had to fight the three Nick Cages?
Yeah, it was a staff that had energy that came out of
okay,
it.
Okay, so it wasn't Ibrahim or Parsis, whichever one that did that. Okay.
No, these were two almost like tentacles with heads. It's hard to see them in the mists. Yeah. No fine details. I have to repeat that because I'm giving a vague description, which people hate.
But
and I get it.
It's right. It's what it should be right
As
now.
As a player, I also hate vague descriptions, and no one is better at it than our home game GM.
Hey, Duncan.
I was going to say who will remain nameless.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Nope. It'll take him 6 years to get to episode 97. So I'm not worried.
True. Okay.
The north wagon door is open. It's a jar and askew. It's
Should
not
we
straight.
Check that just first before we...
If you walk over to begin checking it, I've got a little bit of Coley Cronewitter.
Yeah. Let's hear that, Coley.
Let's hear it.
Little
Let's
Coley Cronewitter I
Coley!
Can read for you. The door to this sturdy wagon hangs slightly askew. Inside is a cozy living space with a small bed on the western wall. Shelves cover the other walls, crammed with books, jars of reagents, and pickled creatures. The cabin shows clear signs of a struggle. Shattered furniture is scattered throughout the room, and shards of glass sparkle on the floor.
Darnayru tried to jump in there.
Bloop. Pretty messy.
It looks kind of beat up. How comfortable is the bed,
though?
He
didn't even make his bed.
Slacker.
Roll a perception check. Darnayru.
Rolling it.
Anyone else going in there to check stuff out?
18.
I'll go check it.
All right. Let's get a perception check from Luton.
Varg's going to keep watch.
Okay, Varg.
38.
That's my goodness.
Dang.
Wow.
You also got
discover a secret stash hidden underneath the bed.
Yes.
Yes.
Secret stash.
Inside.
Go, Brittany.
Inside that stash is a bottle of mutagenic renovator.
I'm sorry, what?
Whoa.
Mutagenic renovator. And a jar of mana rattler liniment. And I will...
Mutagenic.
Liniment. Liniment?
Liniment.
Gomek?
I'm not even going to try. The mutagenic renovator is a level 10 item, a sludgy concoction that's said to be derived from liquefied mana waste mutant scales.
Ooh.
Whoa.
If you imbibe this potion for 1 hour... Your skin will be warped and mutates to grant you resistance 5 to 1 type of energy damage. When you first drink the potion, you choose 1 type of energy damage, acid, cold, electricity, fire, or sonic. The potion grants you resistance to this type of damage. Each time you take damage from one of these listed energy types other than the one that you currently resist, your body mutates, causing you to lose the chosen energy resistance and gain the one you were most recently damaged by.
Oh.
Okay.
Luton drinks it. No, I'm just kidding.
Glug, glug,
bottoms
glug, glug,
up.
Glug, glug, glug. If the potion forces you to change and mutate, it loses 10 minutes of its remaining duration.
So take that potion when you know what you want to be resistant to?
Yeah.
And he may have taken it.
And if you end up receiving a different type of energy, the potion will adjust.
Is it full?
It is full. Yeah, it's unused.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, he's an alchemist. We know that because that's who we're looking for, an alchemist named Emmelet. He could have had a lot of he makes this stuff.
Yeah. And if you... Do you have alchemical crafting, Varg?
I don't. Okay. I never took that.
What about Darnayru? Does Darnayru have alchemical... It's a special, like, skill feat. Has to be chosen.
Right. I did not take that.
Mana Rattler Liniment. It's L-I-N-I-M-E-N-T. Liniment. This lotion is derived from rare mana rattler snakes whose oils ward against poison and disease. When applied, you can attempt to counteract a poison or disease that's currently affecting you.
Hmm.
The potion has a counteract level of 5 and a plus 15 modifier on the roll, so this would take place of any other counteract checks.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You also will acquire a serpentine appearance, growing fangs and scaly skin.
Ooh.
For 1 hour, you gain a fangs unarmed attack damage that deals 1d6 piercing damage plus 1 poison.
Wow.
Nice.
So it makes you a little snaky, but it works to resist poison.
That's pretty cool.
Literal snake oil.
Yeah.
Like literal snake oil, which makes sense for Emmelet.
So we take those and put them in the bag of holding?
Yes. I got them.
The Mana Rattler Liniment is worth 110 gold, and the Mutagenic Renovator is 180 gold.
Wow. I got both those values.
Nice.
Anything else?
That's all you notice. Huge struggle. Matches
any journals? Off. Any papers?
Why don't you roll a crafting check? Crafting. Or a survival check? Please.
I'll roll a crafting check.
I got survivals.
I'll do survival.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you too.
I rolled a 26.
26 was the DC to determine that the glass shards on the floor are the remains of firebombs and alchemical fire that were flung toward the door.
From inside toward the door. Okay, yep. So I was trying to keep things out. Man,
when they attacked the first wagon, probably.
Yeah. And he's throwing all kinds of stuff. We saw that in the Misty Memory outside the wagon, too.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah.
How were those survival checks?
10.
29.
10's, that's not good. But 29's pretty good.
Well, I'm only plus 4.
Yeah, oh, okay. No. 29. You pick up some tracks, Kairos.
Ooh.
Yeah. I do that.
Boot prints that are in the, you know, the soot from the exploded alchemical firebombs. And you see them running towards moving towards a window that's in the back of the wagon, the south side of the wagon, which is also askew. And you remember from the Misty Memory that Emlet jumped out of the back of the wagon. These footprints match the memory. Okay. And this is where he jumped out. And you can now also see that the tracks lead toward the other wagon, which just lines up with what you've already seen from the Misty Memory.
Can we roll a survival check to see if we see any other tracks or those like other things chasing him, ghosts?
I'll roll that survival check over because that was a really good roll. And you don't see any other tracks other than the shambling, like foot dragging, weird tracks that came out of the water.
That's the one I was just talking about. Okay, I want to make
sure. Those.
Okay. Yep. So it wasn't like the smoke face monster thing chasing. This is something different.
Whatever this was, corporeal. definitely corporeal. Left behind tracks.
And was corporeal. Yeah.
Okay. So second wagon. Let's South see wagon. What's in there.
This bed's kind of comfortable though.
This large wooden wagon sits near a hill at the very edge of the plaza. Inside, the wagon is filled with an overpowering putrid stench, which you can smell from the outside. There is a sign on the door that says, danger, keep out.
Whoa. Because there's a giant monster in here that will eat you. I can't keep out when it says keep out.
Varg's going to knock on the door, see if anything responds.
You sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
Shield Marshal?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Shield Marshal Bill over here.
Roll a perception check, Varg.
Okay. It's flashing badges.
26 total.
A 26, you notice that the lock, while secure on the door and giving the impression that this wagon is locked, especially if you were to check the lock, the door itself is loose and the lock has been broken.
Does Varg see any signs of something trying to get out?
Nope.
Whoa, okay. The lock is back on the door?
So it's like a padlock. It's on the door, and it's locked and secure. So if you were to look at the door, like what you saw in the Misty Memory when the gnome checked it, it appears locked just from a general perception check. But he got closer. And you can see that while the padlock is securely locked, the mechanism that holds the lock closed is not functioning. And the door could easily be opened.
Okay.
From the outside.
And we saw the thing that came out and ate the dudes and brought him in. The door slammed shut.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there any kind of reaction when Varg knocks?
No.
Okay, Varg's going to open the door.
Hold on, no, time out.
Varg opens the door.
I want to smell.
This guy's a renegade.
That's okay.
I would like to smell and listen for imprecise scent. Just see if I smell a
position yourselves
there.
The way that... Yeah. Oh, you're already there. Okay,
we're there.
Yeah, so you go up to smell.
Yeah.
And you get a deep whiff, and I need you to roll a fortitude save.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
And Varg opens the door. I need Varg to roll a fortitude save.
I rolled a 20 on my fortitude save.
Okay.
22 on mine.
22 and a 20?
Yeah.
All right. And I need you all to roll for initiative.
There it is. Mm-hmm. There it is.
I don't know
why you opened that door.
Your brother-in-law and that die, man.
And it rolls better.
What do we think these things are? Some sort of snake?
Some sort of sea creature.
Yeah. They came out of the water.
A boxing eel. Eel.
Yeah.
Eel.
It's a boxing eel. So nasty.
So nasty.
Jordan, you were on one today, bro. I'm opening the door. I don't care.
It's ready.
I'm just trying to play like a barbarian.
It's been too long.
Well, this barbarian needs to calm down.
I don't even care. What's that one mean?
mom.
I wasn't even there.
I wasn't even there.
All right. Kairos, what'd you get for initiative?
25.
25. Varg.
Also 25.
Luton.
27.
Oh, that's really high. And Darnayru.
31.
Ooh. Oh. That's okay.
New dice shows up.
But now I use the red, combat
red
wine.
Red one.
So what the heck is happening? Why did I ask you guys to roll for initiative?
Who knows?
There are a couple of plants that seem to be crawling around in the back of the wagon from the door. And I also need Kal-El, Luton, and Kairos to roll fortitude saves.
I'm fortitude-y. Let's get it, baby.
24 for Luton.
Are they like, what are they called? Piranha plants for Mario?
Oh, no. That'd be cool.
27 for Kal-El.
I got a 35 off a natural 20.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Fortitude-y.
That's a triple crit success for you.
Triple crit success?
Yeah.
Man, I get those all the time.
24 was for Luton.
Yes, fortitude.
And
20.
20 and 25 were your fortitude saves. Those are all failures.
Yeah, they are.
So you are sickened one.
No!
While you remain within a 30-foot radius of these creatures, Kairos is fine, and so is Kal-El.
Varg's about to eat this plant.
You got sick from smelling it. You're going to eat this?
I'm going to eat this plant.
Okay.
The last thing that you see as you kick open this door and take a deep whiff of the insides is a lifeless-looking creature rise up from laying on the floor of the wagon, and that's where we start our initiative. So, sickened Darnayru, it is your turn. As you see two of these animated plants in the back of the wagon and some shambling creature that rises up to look at you when you open the...
Because the door is wide open at this point.
It is open now, yes.
Then Darnayru is going to move back.
As we start combat on episode 97.
I'm going to move the full complement, one action, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 feet back. And I'm going to attempt to retch. So I can not be sick anymore.
Okay.
I don't remember what I roll for that.
A fortitude save.
Fortitude save. 30 total.
You reduce your sickened value by 1.
Yes.
Nice. You are no longer sickened.
No longer sickened.
And you still have an action left.
2 actions. I would like to roll to identify this creature.
Good job.
Oh, there's, all right. There's
well done.
2 plants and 1 weird thing.
Yes.
I would like to...
The nature check will do either one. Pick one.
I would like to do the plant. Natty 16... 27.
27, you do not know what this is.
16 plus 11 is 27. I don't have a very good nature, guys.
Let me double check and make sure that I'm giving you the right... No, it's DC 27. I apologize.
Sweet.
You identify this creature as a Dezulon.
What'd you call me?
A Dezulon. D-E-Z-U-L-L-O-N. A Dezulon.
Your head was shaking while you were describing that.
Yeah, it's hard to say that.
You have to focus.
Without shaking your head. Try it.
Dezulon.
See, you didn't
your head moved.
Oh, gosh.
A Dezulon is a carnivorous giant pitcher plant.
Like great. Mario.
It is like a piranha plant.
It is like
it
a piranha
plant. Totally
it
doesn't have
teeth.
Plant.
But it, so these mouth-like snapping heads that look like pitcher plants, and this thing is the size of Varg, this creature.
Whoa.
It's a big plant.
It's a big plant. Feed me Seymour style. And it has this disgusting aura, 30-foot aura, that while you're in the aura, you have to roll a fortitude save every round, or you become sickened, and your sickened condition will just increase every time you fail the fortitude save.
Okay. Well, that's...
It will try to eat you. What would you like to know? I can give you a lot of different information here. Weakest save, strongest save, immunities. Like, you get one more... Or, like, special abilities. You know, you get one more piece of interesting information here. Because you hit the DC exactly.
So let's do its special ability.
Special abilities. Roll a D6 for me.
A D6.
Odds and evens.
Got an even. 4.
Okay. It has an amnesia venom. So if it hits you with one of its attacks, you will become infected by a poison called amnesia venom, which has various horrifying, debilitating stages that start with off guard. And the final stage is you permanently forget the last hour of your life.
Whoa. I bet confusion's in there too somewhere.
It moves its way down that wonderful track.
Wonderful. That's a word for it. Be very careful. This thing will make you forget yourself.
That's what you have to look forward to.
Man.
In this next combat. Aren't we excited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word I use.
A range people feel, are feeling great right now.
That is the end of Darnayru's turn, and the shambling creature that is inside takes a step forward to get face-to-face with Varg. You see, as it gets closer, that there are a bunch of seagulls just interacting.
Just going to town.
Yeah, and they're just having a good time.
They're attracted to the smell.
Yeah, they are attracted to the smell. And this creature walks up and takes a strike at Varg.
Does this creature have a beard? It looks like he has a beard.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it's got a beard, doesn't it? I don't know.
Is this supposed to look
like
me?
It's like Frankenstein.
It totally looks like Frankenstein.
Looks like me as a Frankenstein monster.
And I'm going to roll to hit
Frankenstein's monster.
My only bad. A 20 to hit Varg.
That's a miss, loser.
Yeah, and it only has two actions. Ooh. And that's the end of its turn. It is now Luton's turn.
Luton would like to...
And everybody's standing at the back of the wagon, by the way, Gil. Like, Varg's right at the door. Darnayru's right next to him. Luton's just immediately behind
him. Darnayru's 35 feet to the side.
Well, yeah, he ran away during his turn. But at the beginning of the fight, that's what was happening. Yeah. It was very... In my mind, even though I'm seeing it, I still pictured it in my mind. It was very cartoonish. Like, you guys opened a door and... Yeah, that's it.
Is the smell coming from this monster that approached Varg?
I can't answer that.
Right, you gotta roll.
I can't answer that.
That's fine.
So what would Luton like to do on her turn?
Luton would like to move back 15 feet.
Now, Luton is flying and has a 20-foot speed now, remember?
20 feet.
Okay.
Smart.
So...
Over by Darnayru?
Over by Darnayru.
Okay.
So that's one action.
Yes, it is.
And then Luton would like to cast... Grizzly growths.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
That's that...
Let's make it even more weird.
Nasty yes. spell that forces feet and stuff to grow out of your forehead. Yeah, okay.
I had that in high school.
Yeah, it's... Use a powder
this
for
gruesome
that.
Spell causes the target to grow excess limbs and organs, whether it be fingers multiplying until hands resemble bushes, eyes popping open in bizarre places... legs sprouting from the side of the body or some other result. That's nebulous.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that is
that's a lot.
Some other
and
result.
You're casting it on this that's your shambling
that's fine
shambling
to talk
creature.
About, Pathfinder.
Yeah, no poop, though. Can't talk about poop.
Get that poop out of your mouth.
Speaking.
Get the poop out your mouth.
Let's have an eyeball come out of your armpit, though. That's fine.
So that's 10d6 piercing damage with a basic fortitude save. What's your basic fortitude save? 26?
27.
Nice.
Really?
Defense, DC 27, basic fortitude.
So I need to roll a fortitude save, 33.
Dang.
Woo. So I take half damage on 10d6 piercing damage.
Man.
So 5d6?
No, roll 10d6
and
10, cut it and in
then half.
Half. Yep.
Okay.
Ouchie.
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 That hurt.
Are you doing a bit?
I was trying to do a walk-in. I can't do a walk-in.
It hurt.
Yeah, you gotta like pinch your throat or something.
You just...
You gotta
have to have more patience for your own words.
You gotta take the time to speak.
More constipation.
Speak if you speak from behind your heart. It comes out. It walks out.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
Yeah.
It walkens out.
He loves the show, by the way.
He does.
Chris?
Yep.
I stole your bit.
You did!
Not only that, you're on a first nickname basis.
Yeah. First not shortened first name basis.
45?
What? No, that's impossible.
No, that's possible.
How many 10d6?
10d6?
You got 90?
That's possible to get 60 on 10d6.
Wow.
I got almost all 6.
What a monster
yeah.
roll. That's holy huge. Crap. Okay, so
I used a calculator.
Yeah, no,
I love
I take
that.
22 damage, but that's a lot of damage. On half.
Yup.
You guys are way too powerful.
So on the success, he doesn't grow anything?
No, it still happens. Because the way that the spell text states is that the grizzly growths happen instantly.
What does he grow? What happens?
What does he grow, Luton?
Roll it, right? Roll
it. Should I roll for it?
Yeah.
I think you should. That'd be great. Let the dice decide.
I'll use a d4. So that's complicated. Let's just say he grows.
On evens, it's an appendage. Odds, it's...
Eyeballs popping.
Yeah, eyeballs.
Okay.
Let's keep it simple.
All right, here we go.
Rolling on the gross body
Six.
Part table.
Evens was...
Appendage.
So a bunch of arms sprout out of his arm sockets in this
now
disgusting
he has more
fashion.
Arms.
But I need all of you to roll a will save when she does that.
We're scared.
All of who?
All of you. Kairos, all of you, Shum Follow Fives.
I'm standing next to her, but same.
But yeah, everybody.
Is it because we're scared?
Everybody within 30 feet of the spell.
Oh, I forgot to read that part. But I don't want to. I'm so sorry.
I'm further than 30 feet from the person she cast it on.
Scott knew. Scott knew.
Yeah, I'm 45 feet away from this guy right now.
Scott totally knew.
Right. Oh, then Luton, Luton and Darnayru do not need to roll.
We're level 9 now. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's going to spring this stuff on us.
Oh.
If you're not reading your spell
No, exactly.
Text,
that's what I'm saying. It's not my fault. No, that's what I'm saying. We're level 9 now. It's, yeah, the time's
gorsh.
Over.
Gorsh. Oh, my gorsh.
You roll low?
Gorsh. Gorsh.
Did you roll low?
Yup. Yup.
What'd you roll?
I got a 19 total.
That's a critical failure. You're sickened two.
You're sickened two.
Mark.
27.
27 is a critical success.
Yes.
Because you have that super fortitude. And Darnayru doesn't need to roll, but Kal-El does.
What about the Mario
thing? The plants?
Yeah.
They are immune to mental effects.
Oh, okay.
Why cast a mental spell?
Because it's a plant.
19's a critical failure. If the DC is 27.
Oh, no.
It's
did
just
you
a
say
failure.
19?
He said 19.
Yeah, he did.
I said 19.
Okay. Just a failure. Sickened one.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I heard over there.
I literally heard 17. I'm so sorry.
Actually.
Yeah.
My thumbs were in my pits.
Yeah, they were.
I need to wear
a fortitude
suspenders.
Save for Mr.
I thought it was a will save.
Or a will save for Mr. Jaguar
shirt flaps.
McFace.
Actually. 20. He's sickened.
He's sickened one. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to use that one again.
Yeah, that is Oops. All of your actions. With Kal-El's bonus action, he can take an attack where he's at,
That's
even though Varg is
amazing.
Between Kal-El and the target.
He goes right
because of his reach.
Yeah, but he's already sickened one, and then
he needs to be more than 30 feet away from the plants.
Where are the plants?
In the back of the... You can't see them?
It's hard to see them, but they're on the line of the back of
That's
the
right,
trailer.
You guys can't.
Okay, right here is fine.
So you move Kal-El back with you as his bonus action?
Yes.
Okay. That is the end of your turn. Your original sickened conditions from being in the aura fade at this point.
Not his, just Luton's.
No, his also does because it's the end of your turn, and so his sickened condition that he just earned would fade because it fades at the end of your turn.
Okay. Sorry, did you see how it was sickened or slowed?
Sickened. You see all these arms sprout out, and it makes you feel icky on the inside.
Ew.
Time to get a better look at these plants as the one that's on the left moves its way out and crawls out of the wagon and is now standing next to Varg.
Oh, no. Okay.
It is going to make a vine strike with one of its tentacly shaped vines and strike at Varg.
Just think about Bulbasaur. Vine whip.
Baba.
Baba.
Bulbasaur.
37.
Whoa. Dang.
That's how much I love your Pokemon references in the middle of combat.
Don't be
grump up. I'm grump up.
Those are great references for a battle between monsters.
That's a crit.
Okay. 42 damage.
Dang, bro.
What are these things?
That's OP, man.
I forgot how to say
it. It's a crit. So it's a Dazula. And it's that crit is nasty.
Oh.
And it also, the vine wraps around Varg.
No.
Wrapping around his torso and makes a grab attempt.
Come on. You don't need to be grabbed by this thing.
Oh, me close.
Flex.
Tony
Dan.
Oh, you don't have to roll.
I don't have to roll because the monster's last action was a successful strike, which lists grab in its damage entry. You are grabbed.
Gross.
You gain the grab condition. So
what if I politely decline?
You can do that on your turn. With
I cannot consent.
With an action.
Oh, no. Number two's got to move. Or number one.
That was its second action. It's got a third action. Nom, nom, nom.
Oh, man. Hey. Don't forget who you are. Amnesia. Don't forget who you are.
I'm Varg.
I'm Varg Burgundy.
It's only for 1 hour, though, right?
You forget the last hour.
Of your life, basically.
Don't forget us.
He's just going to forget our bad cold open. And all the
outlaws of Alcazar becomes a notebook story.
What it does with its last action, as you're wrapped up in the vine around its body, is it constricts you and crushes you. Doing damage, but I need a fortitude save.
Come on, this is your best. This is your time to shine.
It is. 32.
Whoa.
32 is a success. So a critical success for Varg, which means you take no damage from the constricting vines as it squeezes your muscular...
Oh, it's a great massage.
Like hyena body.
Yes.
And you just go... or something.
That's pretty good.
I imagine.
Or Bulba. Sound like a gnoll.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
All right. It's the other one's turn. who
good grief.
Steps out.
How?
It's how
a,
what?
The plant. It's got feet.
All right.
It can stand in that corner.
It squeezes through and is outside. You want it to go further?
Is it like in a terracotta pot?
No, it's not in a terracotta pot.
Okay, so it's loose.
It's loose.
It's only 20 it's loose feet plant. Of movement with okay. squeeze rules and okay. difficult terrain.
All right.
I know. I'm glad you asked because I wouldn't want you to think that I was shortchanging you.
I wouldn't think you would.
It is outside of the wagon and does the same thing. There's this big target, big delicious target. Yeah. So it strikes at Varg. 30 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay. 34 damage.
On a regular hit.
On a regular hit.
What?
6-5, 6-5 on the dice. Lots of damage.
Dude, you got it.
I'm below half.
And already. Then its vines wrap around you, and it will try to constrict you as well.
Double grabbed.
Yes, you're double grabbed. That doesn't stack, but you just have to get rid of two. So roll a fortitude save.
Jeepers creepers, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
26.
26?
26 is a fail. You take 9 constricting damage.
Perfect.
Don't take that from him.
Down to 60.
And
got no hero points.
And it's your turn.
Oh. Okay, well, I need to break free of these things. I want to break free.
Sing it.
Want to break free. I would like to break free, please. That makes please
to break free. I get that. I get it.
May I please break free?
What's the action that's breaking a grab? It's like, I can't remember what it is.
It should just be called break free.
It's escape.
That's correct. Thank you, Greg. Hero point.
Yes! When was the last time I got like a... Last game. Like that.
Last game, dude.
But that was like a group effort, like by myself. Greg did something right.
So attempt a check using your unarmed attack modifier.
Okay. And this follows map, for the record, which is sad.
It does, because it has the attack action.
Does that count with my knuckle duster on?
It's the same modifier, yes. You don't have to unequip your knuckle duster.
Well, because with my knuckle duster, I'm a plus 17.
If you take just it off, my does fifth it go down?
Plus look, 16. Just look at
okay,
the,
so plus 16.
Okay.
Just look at the unarmed line, not the knuckle duster.
Yeah, but
duster.
His unarmed attack has knuckle duster on it.
Right.
Oh, it swapped it out? Mine no, doesn't get rid of it.
No,
that is a special ability of the knuckle duster.
Right.
It remains equipped even though you're unarmed.
That's rolled cool. a 3. So 19 total.
You don't break out of the first one.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so then I have to just go keep going down in the...
Yeah, this next one's a minus 5.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the second one... 16.
Total?
Okay.
You don't want to break free.
I don't.
The moral of this story.
No, I failed. That's it.
Did you try it 3 times?
Yeah.
Okay. Then that is the end of your turn.
Oh my gosh.
It is Kairos' turn.
Can I break him free?
I want to.
You can try to break him free.
I think it can aid his attempts to break free. Is that what it is?
You could heal him.
You could heal him.
So he'd have some hit points.
That'd be nice.
Do I have 3 actions?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was sickened. I thought I had...
You're sickened. It reduces some of your checks, but you have your normal three actions.
All right, I want to do a heal spell on that dude first.
Alrighty.
It's going to be the...
My name's Jordan. Or Varg is my character. So.
You're right, Greg. You can prepare... You can basically create a reaction to aid someone's attempt to escape.
But I forgot how it helps, though. Does it lower the DC or give him a bonus to his roll?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to do a 1 action heal spell. At rank 3, I can't do that.
You have to touch him to do 1 action.
All right, so 2 action.
At rank 3?
At rank 3. I'm going to use 3d8.
3d8 plus 24.
Plus 24. 36.
36 healing to Varg, nice. And you have 1 action left.
I want to get out of dodge. I want to move my full complement of 25 out of there.
All right, puts you out of there. And that is the end of your turn, and that is the end of round 1. And that brings us to Darnayru.
Varg, how mad are you going to be if... I do a burst damage thing.
I think you should do what you want.
I'm going to do it. First.
Do we have to roll new fortitude saves for a new round?
Varg does.
Sure.
Darnayru.
Why'd I say anything?
Because you ended your turn in that aura.
27.
You're fine.
Yes.
Critical success for Varg. And you're immune to it for
an hour. And for the listeners,
an hour.
Critical success because if I get a success in fortitude.
That's right. General success is a critical success.
I got that juggernaut feet.
Yeah, you do. Darnayru moves just 10 feet forward, so he's within 30 feet of the grouping all around Varg. Because
yes.
All these two plants and this weird creature are all surrounding him.
You're 15 feet away from... Imagine this scene, too. He's got this shambling, nasty-looking creature swinging at him. And these two pitcher plant monsters have now wrapped their vines around him and are constricting him to death.
I want to know why this thing's alive if they... that's scary. I want to know why it's still alive if they bit the heads off, and why there's not two of them, and why it seems like an animated corpse.
That's the dude, man.
I'm going to...
You think it's Amulet?
Yeah.
I don't think it's Amulet.
Totally Amulet. I went to high school with him. That's exactly what he looks like.
Maybe it is. I'm going to... So I moved for my first action. My second action is to cast Sound Burst, which is a 10-foot burst, and it's going to hit all four of them. Unfortunately, it's hitting Varg.
Okay.
And so everyone needs to roll a fortitude save.
Varg listens to loud music. He's okay.
Everyone needs to roll a fortitude save.
Yeah, the DC is 27.
This is a spell?
Yes.
Okay, I get terrifying resistance then against spells.
Hey, I don't know what that means.
I get a plus one bonus. 28 for Varg.
That's a pass.
Crit.
So if you pass, that's a crit success. So you take, you are unaffected.
Zero
Told
damage.
You, Varg listens to rock
yes.
music.
Yes.
Turn it up louder, Darnayru. That's only 100 decibels.
24 for the shambling creature.
Failed.
And a 17 for both.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's a critical failure for both of them.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, so that means the shambling thing is going to take full damage and is deafened for a round.
Okay.
And the critical failures, they take double damage and is deafened for a minute and stunned one.
Stunned one. Okay.
Yes. So I am now going to roll damage for Sound Burst at level 4, because that's what I've cast it at. And it is 4d10 damage.
That's pretty good.
This could not have gone better.
I rolled 22 damage.
22 sonic damage.
Yes.
Amazing. Okay.
So, Shamble guy 40, takes 20, yeah.
22 for the Shambler and 44 for the plants.
Yes, and Shambler is deafened for yeah. one round.
You know how some music makes plants happy?
Yeah.
Or, like, promotes growth?
This makes it's plants sad.
This, yeah, they're just super depressed now.
So, they both took 44 damage. They're plants. I don't know if they can be deafened. And they're stunned one, though.
They are stunned one. That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal.
Because stunned reduces the number of actions that they have.
Nice.
And so that is the end of your turn?
That's my turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
The shambling creature, it doesn't really have an option now. It's wedged in between these plants and Varg to just a strike at Varg.
The rambling shambling?
Rambling shambling.
Bubbly!
First strike is a 19.
Miss.
You're off guard, even because you grabbed. That's still, I'm sure that's still a miss. The second miss. Strike is a 22. Two
also
misses.
Miss.
Whoa.
And it is Luton's turn.
Nice.
So that creature only has two actions.
The shambling guy?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. He only did two from the beginning.
Can I set up a 20-foot burst to avoid Varg and hit all three of these guys?
What spell are you casting?
Toxic Cloud.
I mean, it's a cloud, so it would consume the entire area, and the wagon has got an open door. And
I'm just trying to avoid Varg.
That will not hit the plants.
It is not a cloud-proof
This won't
wagon.
Hit the plants, even though the circle goes through their squares?
That's
that was
correct.
A funny thing to say.
That is not going through their squares. It is.
I'm looking at the grid. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you moved it to the back of the wagon.
How about that then? Oh, the back of the
it
wagon.
Can't, a burst happens from an intersection of squares. An emanation happens from the center of a square.
Now
so you
I
have
remember.
To pick an intersection point, and that one would hit Varg. There's no cover from the toxic cloud in the wagon.
I'm going to have to hit Varg with this, but I would like to cast Toxic Cloud. It's a 3-action, 20-foot burst, lasts for 1 minute, and it's 68 poison damage.
Or
it's a fortitude save. So you'd have to roll everyone would have to roll.
Poison?
Yeah.
Okay.
Poison plants, poison weird creatures.
All right.
Does this spell have a power word?
No, this is the first time it's been cast.
Yeah.
Toxic cloud. I can't come up with anything that's not like a fart
like
joke.
That.
I know, right?
Poof, be gone.
Stinky misty. I don't know.
So,
what?
Sorry to all of our Thunder Buddies named Misty.
I summon crop
Sorry
dusting.
Sorry, you're stinky.
Yeah, there it is.
All right, so the second Dazulin got a 27, which is exactly a pass.
Okay.
The first Dazulin got a natural 20.
Oh my gosh.
It's a critical success.
Wow.
So now okay.
And the shambling creature is immune to poison effects, and you
okay.
see that as you cast this.
As he right. breathes it in.
So,
yeah.
Varg?
So Varg.
So Varg's the only one I hit.
25.
For 25 is a fail. I missed.
Oh man, Varg.
Two.
Oh no.
You rolled a natty two.
Roll your
no,
damage,
I missed
Brittany.
By two.
No. Don't like this at all.
Luton, what did you eat?
68. I'm so sorry.
I could taste it. I tasted it in my mouth. Was that onion?
That's onion. Yeah. Now the tux is seeming messed up.
That's what I'm saying.
She's rolling rocks over there.
Yeah. 21.
21. Oh. All right.
Poison damage. So Varg only.
That's yeah. Right.
Great.
No, I take 10 of that.
Oh, you take 10?
One of my characters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we know the Shamble Lamba is yep. immune to poison.
Yes.
Didn't know that, at least.
And Kal-El notices that he's now in the radius of the Dazulans. And with his bonus action, what would he do?
Attack. Kal-El attack.
All right. So he does a cat pounce. And I need you to roll to hit.
With Jaws?
And I need a fortitude save from Darnayr. Two fortitude saves. No, just one.
Am I in both arrows?
You're in both, but yeah. No, I need two fortitude saves.
Even though it's the same effect?
Yeah.
27?
27 on your attack
yeah.
is a miss.
Dang.
On the plant creatures.
Arf.
And that is the end of Luton's turn. I need Kal-El to roll two fortitude saves.
The first one's 19 plus 16. 35.
Okay. That's a success.
And a natty 17 plus 16. And my successes are crit successes.
Then you are immune to this toxic cloud.
Yes.
It's your crit success on your fortitude save.
34.
34 is a success.
That means I'm immune to both sources of it?
You're immune to that ability for 24 hours.
Cool. Okay.
And a second one.
For Kal-El?
First one was a pass, so he's fine.
24.
24 is a failure. He is sickened one. And that brings us to these plant creatures' turns.
This is not good. I don't like any of this.
From where they're at, the first one that's attacking, which is number two, of course. Number one never rolls higher initiative ever for any of my monsters, so it's always number two.
Why can't it
first.
Be easy?
I know. I could just make it up, because I'm the GM.
True.
But why would I do that?
You could just change the numbers.
I could.
Yeah, that's true.
Lobs a glob of acid out of one of its pitcher buckets right at Darnayru and Kal-El.
Gross.
Ew.
Yup. It's pretty gross. This glob of acid flies out. It's flying at Darnayru.
Oh, man.
A 36 to hit Darnayru.
Dang.
That's Whoa. Not a crit, but that's a hit. And I mouth, I hate you, but you can't hear it because you're deaf.
Burn.
Yeah, see? You're deaf. Ha ha.
Loser.
19 acid damage, and I need you to roll a fortitude save.
Oh,
okay, let me take the 19.
What are these things?
And a fortitude save. I got a natty 16 plus 16, 34.
Critical success.
That's 32. Hey.
You are immune yes. to the amnesia venom.
Hey. I thought the amnesia venom was from a nom nom, not a
no,
glob glob.
It was from a glob glob, and that was great for you. And
I got so lucky.
You're going to receive another.
He's immune, period?
Yeah.
Whoa.
With a crit success on a poison.
Rad.
Yeah. Cool. For like 24 hours. But
sweet.
Yeah.
His body was just like, I know how to counteract this.
Yeah.
Forget your poisons.
It's like a vaccine.
I've eaten that exactly. garbage before.
A second acid glob comes flying at you, but I rolled low, doing the math, 23 to hit.
Miss.
And we'll constrict Varg with our last action. I need a fortitude
okay.
save.
Oh my God.
Okay. 29.
29 That's is a crit good. Success for Varg.
Ooh, nice.
Not damaged by the constriction.
Let's go.
But you notice that some of the tears in the flesh of this plant knit themselves back together at the end of its turn.
Oh.
It's repairing
it's
itself.
Burn it. Burn with fire.
Yeah. Fireball. Get out of there, Varg.
I'm trying. Don't.
It's the other plant creature's turn, which is going to be a very similar round of attacks. Mm-hmm. Two lobs of glob at Grog.
Oh.
Yep. Do I get lots of there. Cover?
No.
I should have. You're throwing through an immobilized character and
yep.
Kal-El.
I know. You like that. You hate it, don't you?
I should get some cover.
We'll give you half cover.
Which rounds down.
No, Greg. All right. That is a 28 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay.
How much of that globular damage?
13 acid damage, and you are already immune to the venom.
Okay.
A second lob globule.
Lob globular is
a miss.
Sweet.
And we will now constrict Varg. This is the way.
This is the way.
Roll a fortitude save, sir.
Fortitude.
Natty one.
What? No. You can't go from a crit success to a crit failure.
You take 16 constriction damage as these vines are tightening around your neck.
16, you said?
Yeah. And it is Varg's turn.
Varg is choking, and he's starting to panic. He collects himself, and I'm going to attempt to overdrive my weapon.
Okay.
And then explode it.
Maximum. Okay.
Your head explode.
Try to burn these.
No longer trying to escape.
Like a barbarian.
I'm done.
Is mad and angry and realize that being grabbed isn't that bad.
26.
Lowers his checks by a little bit.
Need a, 26 crafting check.
I think you got that in your sleep.
I rolled a 16, 34 total.
Okay.
So it's not a crit.
No. Wait, 16 and 16 is 32, and you roll a 34. That is a crit, right?
No, I need 10 over.
Anyway.
36.
I don't know why I did all that math.
It's okay. I'm going to ask you to leave the room when it's not your turn.
He shushed you. He shushed you.
I did. I've
shushed him in the last 5 episodes.
Okay. And then I'm going to explode. Kinflincer.
Oh.
This is 9d6.
It's 96.
9d6.
When you explode.
What's the radius?
It's 5-foot emanation.
5 foot. Okay. Yeah. So it does not hit Kal-El. It only hits enemies. Do I need to roll a reflex save or... Should be a basic reflex save to get out of that.
With a basic reflex save to all creatures in the emanation around you.
Alrighty. What's the DC?
It just says basic.
I will roll a basic reflex save, and I just need to know what the number is that I'm trying to save against.
Well, let me see. 27.
His is 27? Even as a non-caster?
Yes.
Wow.
His primary stat is high. So that's what drives his class DC.
That all, you just, a light bulb,
did atomic I light bulb
bomb
you?
Just went off in my head.
Amazing.
And I'm learning.
Dazula number one.
And I learned something today.
Got a 34, so that's a pass. Okay. And Dazula number two got a natural one. So critically failed.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So I'll take half damage with one of them, double damage with the other.
And
remind me, what's the element that's in your...
Is electricity.
Electricity.
Yeah.
All right. Shambling creature.
Rambling.
Which you guys have not identified. Got a 33.
Mm.
Half damage.
Okay.
Give me the damage.
36.
36 Whoa. Electricity damage. Yep. Outstanding. Okay. So I take 18 on all the halves. And you notice that the zombie creature perks up when it gets electrified.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
and it starts to...
It is a Frankenstein
it
monster.
It starts to twitch and rapidly move about.
I just
juiced
creation.
Him
up.
You juiced him.
Oh, no.
Did you say 72 damage on the other one?
36 times 2 is 72.
Good news. You killed one of the plant creatures.
Yes.
The one that failed, that critically failed its save had 71 hit points left.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So you did exactly enough damage to it to delete it from the world.
Yes.
Which one?
Dazulon number two is gone.
Let's go.
The other one takes 18 damage.
I'm still grabbed.
And it still grabs you.
Okay.
And you noticed also at the end of its turn that it knits some of its torn and shredded leaves back together.
Okay.
That is the end of your turn, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And it is Kairos' turn. That was a great turn.
Yeah, he did good. Kairos sees what's going on and says,
turn on the magic of color light.
So I'm going to cast holy light on the zombie or the shocked thing, whatever it's going on with that. It's a third level spell. So it's 2-action spell strike. Well, I got a natty one. That's the first problem.
Oh, that's a problem. That's a miss, obviously, so...
And then we'll do Arcane Cascade.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
Man. That is the end of your turn.
Dang it.
That is the end of round two. And that is the end of this week's episode.
Oh, yeah, what?
This is the Dice of Thunder podcast.
There it is.
Oh. I'm sorry, everybody.
Wow.
Fighting crazy plant monsters in the back of the wagon and zombies and stuff.
It's 100% a reanimated corpse. Calling it.
Hey.
Yeah,
you were a hot dog, and you were hungry. Would you eat yourself? I know I would.
If the moon were made out of barbecue spare ribs, would you eat it?
Why are you guys like this? Tune in next week, Thunder Buddies. For more of that, I'm sorry. For more of that.
It's good.
For more of that, I'm
it's so good for
sorry.
You.
Ramba Chambla.
Believe.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.